Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
What is the idea of retreat? I wrote up with, there'll be a definition behind me on the screen. I don't know if you can read it. Oh, wow, that's pretty blurry. This is what happens when you're on retreat. You try to do this on the road. The rest, I think, will be clearer. One of the guys that I wrote up with, a Division I baseball player, said to me, retreat for me is, it's a detox weekend. I need to pull the plug on everything that culture and the world is after me for. That's what retreat is for me. And we were talking about the nutritional benefits of going in a sauna and then getting in a cold shower or a cold situation. And he was talking to me about some of what he does with his diet and all of these things. He said, but this is a spiritual detox for me. And while I'm really, really into the physical stuff and I'm really, really into trying to take care of my body, I know that I need this weekend. I was like, man, that's a way better definition than what that says. It's a group getaway in which the members of that group take time to form bonds with one another. They contemplate their purpose and motives, and they work towards one or more specific goals. What's the goal? Yeah, we fellowship. Yeah, we eat. Some of you may be going, what else do? You make strange sounds because it's all men. You eat way too much food. The goal is, hopefully, that the men would return different than when they came. Why? Because they had an encounter with God. That's the goal. And so, some way, somehow, we hope that that happened this weekend. I want to just give you a couple highlights. And you would say, well, these aren't really necessary. Hang in there with me. I think they are. The retreat started for us on Thursday night. We had a meal together. It was a different setting than what we've done in the past. We were all able to eat together every meal. That's biblical. It's not that you can't eat in separate restaurants, but it was great that all of us got to eat in one location together. And our food, for the guys that are sitting here, was it not great or what? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was amazing. So Thursday night, we have a meal together, and then we had session one. And I'm going to show his picture in just a minute, not yet, but a friend of mine from Pennsylvania spoke, Kyle Roth. Friday morning, we had session two. We had some worship. We had a meal together, and my friend spoke again. And then the third session was, I had four gentlemen sit on the stage in front of us. Guys were able to submit any question they want that would be in a men's retreat type setting that they could ask. And we just asked these four guys from four different places in their lives, four different age groups. It was Pastor Carey, our former pastor, Pastor Jared, who's our campus pastor. It was Rodolfo, and it was my friend Kyle from Pennsylvania. And we just asked them different questions that men are dealing with that they had submitted. It was great. Session four was Friday night. Friday afternoon, we had a whole afternoon to go do whatever they wanted. Some guys went to the beach. Some went to the boardwalk. Some guys went on a boat to see dolphins and whales. Some guys went golfing. And then we came back Friday night, and we brought in the closer. The closer is Pastor Carey. He's the former pastor here, if you don't know. He will actually be here next Sunday to preach on Pentecost Sunday. So if you hadn't heard that, we don't usually announce who's coming, but I think in his case it would be good if we would honor him and say, yeah, you should know that Pastor Carey will be with us next Sunday. We ended on Friday night with this whole group of us standing around a bonfire, and then two guys asked to be baptized. Pastor Carey asked somewhere in his last session, he said, water baptism is great. I'm all for water baptism, but I really like fire baptism. And he asked the question, how many of you have been baptized by fire? He asked a few other uncomfortable questions. I'm just going to go ahead and ask him. He said to the men, when's the last time you took your wife's hand and said, why don't we go to the altar and pray? And then he said, and if you're not married, why have you waited so long to posture yourself on your face before God to pray? What is it that you're waiting for? And it got quiet in the room as he asked these questions. The theme for the weekend, you can see it on our shirt, was carry the mat. So in order to set this up, sometimes I read the scripture and show you a video. I'm going to do it in reverse order today. And I think this will set it up. And then I do want to share some of the scripture. I don't think you had to be on retreat this weekend to know that God wants to meet with us today. And he's got something to say to you. So just hang in there. But to set it all up, watch this scene from The Chosen, their interpretation of carry the mat.
Jesus of Nazareth!
Over there!
I saw what you did to the leper on the road this morning. My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you. Please, do for him what you did for the leper.
That's a rope!
Put it back, man!
If you are willing, Rabbi, I know you can do this.
Get out your tablet at least.
Harry!
Is he in danger?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
He's got room in there?
Yes.
Can you believe we're really here for this?
Yes.
Down.
So begins the setup for the whole weekend. Is a man is brought to Jesus, and there's obvious things in here, and then there are things that aren't so obvious. So let's go over them. Just first of all, this is the same story that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This weekend, I hadn't heard this challenge before, but I was issued this challenge. You should take one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and own it. Just make it your own. Take one of them and just dive into it and saturate in it. And for me, and it was before the challenge ever happened, it's Luke. So I'm going to share this morning Luke's version. I'm also sharing it because Luke is a doctor. And we're dealing with some issues here that are physical related. But the others share essentially the same thing. Most people think this is Peter's house. It's in Capernaum, Mark would say, and here's what it says in Luke chapter 5. One of the days while Jesus was teaching, some proud religious law keepers and teachers of the law were sitting by him. They had come from every town in the countries of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. This wasn't just Harrisonburg. These folks have gathered from a long ways away, and they've come to this moment, and it's packed out. The power of the Lord was there to heal them. Some men took a man who was not able to move his body. As I'm reading this and you're reading this, I want you to pay particular attention to all the details Luke gives us about what this man is dealing with. Here's the first one. Some men took a man who was not able to move his body. He was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was, but they could not find a way to take him in because of so many people. They made a hole in the roof where Jesus stood, and they let the bed down with the sick man on it before Jesus. Pause that slide. Right now, let's pretend I'm not Jesus, but let's pretend I'm teaching much like Jesus. I am teaching some things here. We're going over scripture. And right now, you heard the sounds crackling right where the cross used to be. And all of a sudden, some debris started falling in this room, in this moment. Right now, all of you would just be like, where's Daryl? Get the roof fixed. What is happening? So here's Jesus. All these people have gathered. Here's the moment. And all of a sudden, and it's not just like we think, well, it's just a few palm branches laid across the top. That's not what's happening. I'm not saying it's as secure as this, but all of a sudden, these guys are in the middle of Jesus teaching on God's words, and debris starts falling in the middle of this. And we sit there and we, and here comes a man down out of the sky. Verse 20, this is beautiful how it says this. When Jesus saw their faith, what it means there is the guys who have showed up, the language translation here is, we will not be thwarted. You will not stop us from getting in. A doorway, people, a paralysis, we're getting our boy in. We've heard that this is the guy to see. So one way or another, we're coming in. We've decided it's the roof. He said to the man, friend. I love when Jesus refers to someone as friend. And think of the next statement. Your sins are forgiven. Apparently, he was a sinner. Jesus, friend of sinners. Friend, your sins are forgiven. The teachers of the law and the proud religious lawkeepers thought to themselves, who is this man who speaks as if he is God? Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said to them, why do you think this way in your hearts? Two different body parts, and Jesus has connected them. Why do you think this way in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? Pause. If I were to say to any of you, so what's easier? Can you forgive or can you just heal somebody? You do have the power to forgive, by the way, but it's not the same as what's going on here. So he's asking them a question, and they don't have an answer for it, because the truth is, they know they don't have the power to forgive sins, but they certainly don't have the power to raise a person up off a mat. So which is easier, heal a man or forgive sins? So that you may know the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who could not move his body. Are you paying attention? He could not move his body. I say to you, get up, take up your bed, and go to your home. At once, the sick man. You see all these references to this person's issues? The sick man got up in front of them, and he took his bed, and he went to his home, thanking God. And all those who were there were surprised, and they gave thanks to God. We have seen special things today. Just a few side notes. No one thanks Jesus. I don't know if in all the verses I've read, did you just pay attention? There's only one name used in this story. Jesus. And no one thanks Jesus. He is, by the way, God. And they were frustrated by that in this moment. They thought he was blaspheming. And no one thanks him, according to what it says here. The worst paralysis here, are you listening? Is not the man's physical issue. Sin is the worst paralysis. Now I want to show you a picture of a friend of mine. He was in the little video clip earlier. And this isn't something that I would normally do, but because of the kind of weekend that it is, I have to try to summarize, and I've got his permission to do this, what happened this weekend and what was shared. This is my friend Kyle. He's 32 years old. He's an electrician. He lives in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We attended the same church together, and he shared his story in the first two sessions with our gentleman this weekend. What struck Kyle in this story was that Jesus forgives the man's sins first, even though it seems like there's another obvious problem here. Like, Jesus, you missed it. And everybody else thinks that Jesus missed it because the guy gets lowered through the roof, not through the door, not through a, hey, Jesus, could you come over here and heal him? And he says to him, your sins are forgiven. In verse 20 and 21, Jesus knows their thoughts, and so their thoughts must be a reflection of their heart. Kyle said, Jesus heals what he knows is needed most, what his greatest need is. It's the most obvious to everybody else. Well, the man can't walk. Kyle shared his journey with our guys, and here's part of his journey. Kyle was our drummer on our worship team. Kyle's wife, Allie, was our worship leader, one of them. She sang just about every Sunday. They were the proud parents of a son, Emmett, who was 2 years old. She was pregnant with a second child who was going to be a boy. His name was going to be Owen. And she had a horrible pregnancy. I mean, it was rough. And Allie was a pretty thin girl, but she was an active person. This couple, Kyle and Allie, they did everything in our church. They led young adults. They led the youth. They were raising a child. She was pregnant. They led worship. Our worship team would often be asked to go to different things in the community and just play music and share music. So this was a couple that you would look at, and first of all, you would say, they got it all. They're the American dream, right? They're good looking. They got kids. They have jobs. They're in church. They're active. They're worshiping. And you would say, man, they just seemingly have it all. But he just has this horrible pregnancy during their second child. It was an afternoon in August when they found out that they were going to finally be able to have Allie have the baby. She had a C-section. And so Kyle said, like, finally the enduring pain was going to be over and it was time for Allie to have the baby. They were excited. They have the baby. Everything goes well. Surgery is good. And they go home. And the day that they get home, the doctor calls them back and says, you're going to need to come back in. And we have some news that we think we found out why you've had such a horrible pregnancy. They go back in and they sit down with their doctor, and the doctor says to Allie, Kyle's wife, at 29 years of age, the day that they bring their second child home, Allie, you have colon cancer. And it's stage 4. And we're not sure what's going to happen here, but we're telling you right now in this moment, this is going to be tough. And we're honestly not sure, short of a miracle, that anything's going to work out here for you. We really feel like what's going to happen is we're basically just going to try to extend your life. And we're going to try to do it in such a way that you will not have pain for the rest of your days with your husband, your 2-year-old son, and your 1-day-old son. And Kyle said to us, through this journey and through this same story, that God spoke to him. And he said, you know, it seemed to me the most obvious need that I had in my life was very simple. Everybody in the community, everybody in the church knew what was the obvious need. Hey, God, we need you to heal my wife because I'm not ready to be a single dad. I'm not ready to raise 2 boys. I wasn't even very good at it with her. And now it's a possibility that I'm going to try to do this without her. And so the most obvious thing that I need, God, is this. I need you to heal my wife. And somewhere in the journey from getting the report on August to leading up to her eventual death in December, Kyle said, God clearly spoke to me and said to me, Kyle, me healing your wife is not your greatest need. I've forgiven your sins. And Kyle, guess what? I don't owe you anything. Whew. I've done enough. That's a hard message to hear. Kyle went off a side rabbit trail and he said to our guys, what is it that you're complaining about? What is it that you feel persecuted over? Because we like to complain about stuff. We know that we have things in our world that we don't agree with. But he said, the truth is, nobody's coming to my house and snatching me out of my house and making me do this and making me do that. The Lord gave him a clear message. Kyle, the most obvious thing is, I've forgiven you. And that's all you need, brother. Rest in that. I want to show you a picture. I used to sit in the hospice room with Kyle. I would go in the room and I would just sit with Kyle, and this is his wife, Allie. This picture was taken 2 days before she passed away. Often I would go in and I would sit with Kyle and we would just talk and we would laugh and we would cry. And Allie, while she was physically in the room, was most of the time just out of it. Once in a while we would hear her make a sound and she really was unresponsive. And Kyle would get up and he would sort of go over to her bed and lean over her and check on her and make sure she was okay. But 2 days before she was to pass away, he said a musical therapist came in and she had a guitar, and it was just the musical therapist, the guitar, him and Allie, who hadn't eaten now in at least 3 weeks or more of any kind. And he said, the musical therapist began to play a worship song. And this is my wife's response. She just worshiped. And the Lord reminded me, Kyle, I'm going to take care of her, and I got you. And the only thing you need is for me to forgive your sins, and I've done that. Trust me, Kyle. And we're all sitting in the room, and the body comes through the roof, and they're looking at Jesus, and he goes, your sins are forgiven. And everybody's going, what are you talking about? You missed it, Jesus. You missed the most obvious thing. And Kyle said, I had missed it too. Now, I do want to show you good news, because what happened in the months that followed, really in the next year, basically a miracle occurred. Kyle gets through this really dark, really awful period trying to figure out how he's going to raise these two boys. And within the calendar year, he gets a phone call from a former youth pastor and his wife, and they're in Illinois. And they said, hey, we know it's been about a year, and your wife's been gone, and we know you've been struggling and wrestling, and we've been talking to you, and we've been praying, but we had this girl who showed up to take baby pictures for us. We were only with her for 2 hours. Her name is Michelle. We're just wondering, Kyle, we've literally known her for 2 hours. We haven't known her for 2 months. We don't know her that well, but we were so impressed with her. We just felt like when we were with her, God was present. Would you be at all interested in reaching out to her? She's never been married. She's not a parent. She's a traveling nurse, but she does these photographs on the side, and we're just wondering, maybe you'd be interested in meeting her. And Kyle said, man, I wrestled with that, you know, and I talked to my parents. I remember him coming and talking to me. Nobody else really knew. Kyle ends up texting this girl, and they exchange a few text messages. He decides, I'm going to go to Illinois, and I'm going to meet this young lady. And fast forward the story, but what he shared with us on Friday morning is, through all of that brokenness and through all of what God said to him, Kyle, I've done enough for you. But he said, the message from Genesis on is, I'm interested in restoring all things. And not everybody's story works out this way, but the next picture will show you how God has restored all things for Kyle. He gave him a new wife. Her name is Michelle. And there's their two boys. That was taken just a few weeks ago. So in session one, Kyle says to us, you guys, really, the most obvious thing that I thought that I needed was physical healing for my wife, and that wasn't it. But God still had something else that he wanted to do, and he did it. He restored to me, and he gave me, because he knew me better than myself, he gave me a beautiful wife. And her name is Michelle, and she moved to Pennsylvania, and they got married. And this family is raising these two beautiful children. You could say amen or clap or do whatever you want or something. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? Yeah. It's incredible. Don't miss the obvious, Kyle said, and the obvious is not what everybody else in the room thought. Back in August, when I first came, the very first Sunday, I asked you this. Who in your life have you rearranged your life for so that they would be introduced and carried to Jesus? You don't just know a few things about them. You know when their doctor's appointments are. You know what they're going through. You've invested so much in their life that you would say, this is my one. And we started in Luke 15 and we talked about one in our life. Kyle would say to our guys this weekend, had it not been for a group of people who had carried me on a mat for a while, I would have not made it. I would have never made it. I'm revisiting the same question today in a different way. Who is the person, maybe it's persons, plural, that you would say, I'm going to need a community of people to help me carry this person to Jesus? This is not anti-presence evangelism. This is the reality that you're going to need some other people to help you get this person, for whatever reason, to Jesus. This man did. This man in this story needed some other people to bring him to Jesus. And many of us have either been on the mat or we've been asked to carry a mat and we're not doing much. Now, you can't carry it if you're on it. I understand that. This is a picture of Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss was born on February 7th, 1919 in Lynchburg, Virginia. Private Doss, as he's affectionately known. He joined the army, but he was a conscientious objector. And Desmond Doss was sent into the army, and then he decided, even though they tried to get rid of him, that he was going to stay in the army. No matter what happened, his two people above him, his two commanding officers, they couldn't stand him. They didn't respect the fact that he wouldn't carry a weapon. And so they tried with all their might to get rid of him and force him out of the army. He faced great ridicule and abuse and criticism, but he stayed. And it's a true story. And I'm going to show you a scene from a movie, Hacksaw Ridge, in which Desmond Doss decided, I'm going after one. One at a time, and I'm going to do this because this is what I believe God's called me to do. Watch just a scene from this movie in the life of Desmond Doss. Check this out.
It's Doss. It's Doss, be quiet. Yeah. I got you. Are you in it?
Yeah, I can't see.
Be quiet, just be quiet. Hold still now. I got you. Hold tight. There you go. Try now.
I thought I was blind.
Keep it down. Can you walk?
Hello?
We gotta get out of here. Okay. Okay. Come on.
Here, we got you. We got you.
Please, Lord, help me get one more.
Get one more, Lord. Help me go get one more. I don't think Doss cared about how injured they were. I don't think he cared about the color of their skin. I don't think he cared about their race, their language. I don't think he cared about their age. I think he just was compelled to go get one more. What's preventing you from bringing someone to Jesus? I didn't say church, although I think that'd be great. What is preventing you? What are the barriers in place that would prevent you from bringing someone to Jesus? Do you need a group of people to help you? The truth is, Doss couldn't do that all on his own. He was pulling guys out, but he was letting them down to some other people to carry the mat. And in the next scene, his commanding officer is in the triage unit, and there are guys all over beds, and they keep showing up, and he walks around, and he's going to the wounded soldiers, and he said, "How did you get here? How did you get here? Who got you down here?" And they all had one response: Doss. He's up on the ridge, and he just keeps going after people. How about us? Stand with me. This morning, I'm going to give you one more physical way to express this. I have four mats in the corners of the rooms. There's two up front, and there's two in the back. And I'm just wondering if today you would say, maybe it is your one. Maybe you have more than one that you want to come and physically write their name on a mat. That you know you got some people that are going to have to help you get this individual to Jesus. And you want to write it on a mat. And what we're going to do is, after the second service, I don't know where they're going to go. I'm going to move them at different parts of the church. But when you look at those mats and you see those names, our staff is going to pray over them. They don't even know that yet, unless they're in this service. But I want you to pray for them. Who are the people that you would say, man, I don't know. I've had this in my life. I don't know if I can get to them. But I know if I go get a couple of my boys and we go after him or we go after her, we might be able to get them to Jesus. That's what happened in this story. And while the greatest need is your sins are forgiven, there is a secondary need. And we got people in our life who have both of those needs probably. The paralysis of sin. One final picture. When we started this 7 or 8 weeks ago, we had a men's prayer breakfast. And at that men's prayer breakfast, Brian Charette shared with us, as he launched us into this whole idea of carry the mat, that he was so excited as a kid that he got, this was his first ever electric game he was given. The Mattel Tudor Electric football game. Some of you have remembered this game. He said, here was the object of the game. Plug it in. That's how technology, you know, we were so advanced. He said, you would plug this in and you would line the guys up on either side of the game. And when you plugged it in, the table would just shake and vibrate. You had no idea who was going to score. If it scored, it was by accident. Because the only thing that happened was the table would shake. And you hoped the guy with the ball might make it across the end zone. That was the game. Can you think of how far we've come? The game just shook. And he said, invariably what happens is, when the game would start, he said 90% of the men on the field would end up, guess where? On the sideline. As soon as they got shaken, they ran to the sideline. People, we have things that shake us. And most of us run to the sideline. I've been on the sideline. And I've needed somebody to come and take my rear end and put me on a mat and bring me back. So do you. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know where you're at. But I got a feeling while I've been talking, you have a name or names of people that you know. I need to put their names on that mat so that we can, as a community, carry them to Jesus, at least in prayer to start. Maybe you want to respond this morning and do that. Maybe you want to come to an altar. I don't know. I don't know where you're at, but I do think a lot of us have people in our life who would say, if I had somebody else to help me, I think we could get them to Jesus. Let me pray before we sing. Lord Jesus, I have a couple names. that I'm not sure by myself I'm going to get them. I know that you have to do the work and they ultimately have to surrender, but I'm wondering if I had some people around me that would help me, if I could get them in your presence, if I could get them in front of you. I know the change that you'll make in their life. I just got to get them to you. So today, Lord, we're just, some of us going to symbolically, we're going to put some names down and we're going to just keep calling out their names and bringing them to the throne room and asking you to help us bring people, carry people to you and your presence. We're going to trust you with the outcome. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. As we start to sing, there are markers on all these tables. There are mats. Don't hesitate. Go put some names on some mats of some folks in your life that you want carried to Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.